Allied Irish Bank has defended its controversial debt write-down for hurling great DJ Carey. In 2011, the bank secured a High Court judgment for €9.5 million, arising from a €7.85 million loan to Mr. Carey. Mr. Carey's financial woes were first reported on RTE's Primetime last week. It's now emerged that the bank offloaded properties used as security against the borrowings. Yesterday, AIB told its staff in an internal memo that it exhausts all appropriate avenues to recover debts. Its head of banking, Jim O'Keefe, while not naming Carey, said he could not comment on individual cases, but wrote that he wanted to clarify AIB's approach to debt write-downs in light of commentary in recent days. The Irish Times public affairs editor Simon Carswell has more on the debt and the bank's write-down. Simon, good morning. This saga involving DJ Carey goes back to 2011 when AIB secured that €9.5 million judgment against him. What do we know about the borrowings and the debt that Carey had accrued?
Well, that debt judgment of 9.5 million was made up largely of a loan of about 7.85 million that was provided to DJ Carey to buy properties at the K Club in Mount Juliet. Now, these were big loans to buy properties, and these properties were purchased at the peak of the boom, so they're very significant purchases requiring significant borrowings. Now, on the back of that judgment in 2011, AIB was then able to sell the properties in an effort to try and recover some of its loans. Obviously, the property market after the crash, those property values had fallen substantially, so it wasn't able to get anything like what was paid for those properties. We know that one of the properties in Mount Juliet was sold in July 2014 for $799,000. Property at the K Club was sold for $717,000. And then a second property at the K Club owned by Carey's then partner, businesswoman Sarah Newman, on which he had personally guaranteed a loan of $1.5 million secured against that property. That property was sold for $285,000. So all told, it was about $1.8 million generated from those three property sales, and that would go towards the repayment of his debts. Now, RTE reported last week that there was a settlement reached with DJ Carey in 2017, whereby the remaining debts would be settled for $60,000. So all told, from the property sales and that debt settlement, you're looking at it in the region of about $7.7 million of his overall $9.5 million debt was written off. So 80% of his loans were of his debts were written off in that process.
So will you tell us a little bit about these personal insolvency arrangements? And many people might remember they were introduced during that avalanche of debt that emerged following the Celtic Tiger, and how then an arrangement was structured within that type of PIA?
Well, the PIAs have become commonplace, the personal insolvency arrangements in the High Court. The High Court regularly approves the write-off of debts, and it's to deal with basically where borrowers don't have the income, assets, or assets to repay debts, and these are unsustainable debts, and they can prove that, and then the court signs off on it. And in the PIAs, there can be very substantial write-downs. It can be in the order of more than 90%. And really, the decision is made to approve these on the basis of what is a better outcome than bankruptcy. And in many cases, even a small lump sum can be better than bankruptcy. So creditors can take quite a write-down of their debt to settle these debts. And basically, the whole process is to allow people to escape their financial debts, many cases relating to Celtic Tiger debts, which were never going to be repaid.
And just remind us again about the write-down in DJ Carey's case as against his borrowings, you said, of $7.85 million.
It's looking at a write-down of about 80% against the judgment that they got in court of 9.5 million. So that's quite typical, actually, when you look at what the kind of write-downs that people are getting through the formal PIA processes. Now, DJ Carey's was done informally by the bank. It didn't go through the court in terms of the personal insolvency arrangement, but it was agreed privately with him. But again, it's very typical of what you're seeing in terms of cases that are coming regularly before the courts, almost on a weekly basis.
So a write-down of the order of 80% would not be unusual. And what is there a personal cost to DJ Carey?
Well, the personal cost is he has to show everything. He has to show all his income, all his assets, and he has to show that he is able to sell assets. So they would look at that, and the bank, in its circular to staff, it didn't refer to DJ Carey, as you said, but it said that what it does is it gets third-party certification. So it goes out to, let's say, a firm of accountants or an asset search specialist to check to see that the borrower has been upfront and has been clear in terms of what they have by way of income and assets. And once the bank is satisfied, or once any creditor is satisfied that they have seen all the income and assets, then they can come to a settlement agreement. And in DJ Carey's case, with the residual debt that was left after the sale of other properties, it was in the order of 60,000, and the bank was happy to reach that settlement with that. With the borrower.
Is it unusual though, Simon, that the head of banking in a bank like AIB would yesterday have in an internal memo addressed the issue, while not saying he was talking directly about DJ Carey? Nonetheless, he was talking in the wake of recent commentary.
It's very unusual. Jim O'Keefe did refer to external commentary over the debt write-down, so obviously the bank was concerned about what was being reported about the case of DJ Carey. So the bank went to great lengths to explain to staff, well, we can't talk about this specific case, but here's what we do in the general. Here's what we do when it comes to debt resolution, and our processes are robust. And so they wanted to reassure staff that they did everything. And they're essentially signalling to staff that there was no sweetheart deal here for DJ Carey, without saying that specifically about him.
Mm. And you say no sweetheart deal for DJ Carey, but when you look and you say that there have been a number of cases of similar numbers to what we're looking at here, and it doesn't involve bankruptcy, they certainly look like sweetheart deals, do they?
Well, they do, but the personal insolvency legislation that was passed in 2012 was designed to allow people to walk away from Celtic Tiger debts. It's a very, very kind of independent analysis provided in a lot of these cases, where personal insolvency practitioners come in, look at the borrowing's financial picture, and basically say there's no possibility here of getting more money out of this. It's kind of a can't get blood out of a stone approach. And on that basis, they agree write-downs, and in many cases, the High Court signs off on these personal insolvency arrangements with significant write-downs in the order of 99% in some cases.
And what happens if in the future an individual comes into funds? Is there any obligation to repay any of that outstanding debt, or is the slate wiped clean now for once and for all?
It's not wiped clean in terms of there's clawback clauses included. So what happens is in formal cases, in personal insolvency arrangements, which have a term, so they can be 12 months or 2 years, or the term that can last. And over that period, there is clawback clauses where if a borrower were to come into a windfall, let's say some inheritance or a lottery win, for example, the creditor can then execute the clawback clause where they can get money back. In DJ Carey's case, which was not a formal personal insolvency arrangement, there was a four-year clawback clause within the settlement agreement as reported by RTE, and that would have lasted from 2018 up to 2022. So in that four-year period, if any money came to DJ Carey, the bank had the capacity to go and recover further money beyond the settlement agreement with DJ Carey.
So in his case, the slate is wiped clean now?
The slate is wiped clean, as far as I'm aware, in terms of the recovery of the debts, the original debts, but that clawback clause is there in place. So if the bank was aware of certain assets that came within, came to him, they were able to recover that under that clause.
All right. Well, Simon Carswell, Public Affairs Editor with the Irish Times, thanks very much indeed for joining us.